I can always count on Wally. I guess I can always count on Seb. Oh man. It's a lovely day, isn't it? I'm glad that fall has finally arrived. I'm tired of 90 degree days. But anyway, Psalm 23. This is a psalm that I have used at every funeral I've ever done. And most pastors I know have always used this psalm. It is a psalm that brings peace, talks about how God provides for us, how he protects us, and his promise for us that we will one day have eternal life with him. And yet that psalm is much, much more than that. Psalm 23, I believe, is David's testimony. I believe it's a discussion, or not a discussion, but a description of David's intimate relationship with God. There is no we in this psalm, no us, no they. It is only my, me, I, and you. And it's an incredible statement. So it not only should be David's testimony, it should also be ours. Let me read this to you, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for the testimony of David, and thank you for these words that we can read. Lord, I pray that they'll not just be words on a page, but they'll be words in our heart. I pray that we will live and recognize you as our shepherd, the one who cares for us and loves us, the one who wants the very best for us. And so, Father, just now, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take these words and work them in our lives, in our hearts, as only he can. I thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, what you are doing. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe what the Bible says? I mean, really, this is Sunday morning, isn't it? And if I ask you if you believe what the Bible says, you were going to say what? But do you believe what the Bible says on Tuesday or Thursday? I'm just asking because it's important for us to believe this. I believe that David really believed what he was saying. It wasn't just some kind of theoretical theology. It wasn't just some exaggeration. It was the cry of his heart. This psalm describes his experience with God, his experiences with God. God is our shepherd. And because he is, we have no need. We lack absolutely nothing. He satisfies our needs. He wants us to know that he takes care of us. He supplies our need. He leads us. He walks with us. He provides for us. And he makes a promise to us at the end. Our problem? If God is going to be our shepherd, then we have to realize we're sheep. I've done some reading about sheep. And I will tell you, it is hard for me to admit that I'm a sheep. There was a sheep farmer who said this: sheep are the most stupid animals on the face of the earth. Feeling good about yourself now, aren't you? They are dumb, they are dirty, they smell. They are helpless, they're defenseless. They are always getting lost and don't know enough to come in out of the rain. All of you who want to admit this morning you're a sheep, raise your hand. Because it's hard for us to realize that describes us. Outside of a relationship with God, we are lost. We don't know enough to come in out of the rain. We are defenseless. We are dirty. We stink. And the amazing thing about that is God still loves us. It's an incredible thing that God still loves us in spite of who we are. And yet God tells us that we are valuable. We sang about the cross today. There is where God showed us beyond the shadow of a doubt how valuable we are to Him. Where His Son shed His blood for us, for our sin, and died and was buried and rose again so that you and I, through faith in Christ, might have eternal life. The very first line of this psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The question is He yours? Is God your shepherd? Have you recognized that you need a shepherd, a Savior? Because the most important decision that you will ever make in your life is, what do I do with Jesus? Am I going to trust Him to shepherd me? Am I going to trust Him as my Savior? I've had the joy over the last several weeks to talk to people who have expressed their love of Jesus. And I can't think of anything that is more joyful for me than to talk to someone about Jesus. You know, I think the greatest miracle that ever occurs for us is not someone being healed of cancer, is not someone that God takes their grief away. The greatest miracle of all is when someone gives their life to Jesus Christ. It is an incredible thing. And over the years, I've been able to see that happen on multiple occasions. But when's the last time you had that joy of talking to someone about Jesus? When's the last time you saw the expression on a person's face completely change because they trusted Christ as their Savior? God tells us that we are sheep and that we need to realize we are completely dependent on Him. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, it's an amazing thing how often, for example, in Exodus chapter 20, when God is giving the law to Moses, He says to Moses, "I am the Lord your God. I'm not just a God. I'm the Lord your God. I want to have a relationship with you." It's an incredible thing that the God of the universe, the Almighty God, the All-Powerful, who spoke the universe into existence from nothing, wants to have a personal relationship with me. Shouldn't that change our lives? Shouldn't that cause us to fall at His feet in worship? That He loves you and loves me enough to desire that kind of personal relationship, an intimate relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. I believe that's the theme of this entire psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Green pastures is a place where the sheep can rest, where the sheep can be fed. It is the best place for them. It's where they can best experience peace. Isn't that what God does for us? God wants us, He wants to lead us to a place of absolute peace. He knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. Green pastures, still waters. Sheep are afraid of running water. And yet the shepherd knows where the best pools of water are. And he leads the sheep there to the best watering holes. The shepherd leads the sheep to a place where they can eat, where they can rest, where they can be restored, where they can find peace. You know, Jesus does that for us too. Look at John chapter 6, verse 35 says this. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." God meets our needs. Now turn to Matthew chapter 6. And while we're doing this, sometimes you need to think about, what is it you really need to survive in life? What is it you really need? Not what you really want, but what is it that you really need? Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start reading in verse 25. Excuse me. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you think that God doesn't know what you need in your life? God knows exactly what we need, and God is ready and will provide it for us. When we get down to our basic needs, what do we really need? Food? Clothing? Shelter? Does God know we need those things? God provides those things for us. I hear people say all the time, well, I bought my house. I own my house. You know what? When you die, somebody else is going to own that house. We're just kind of living there for a while. But did God provide that for us? Did God provide the car you drive? Did God provide your job? God provides everything for us, all our needs. He doesn't promise to meet our wants, our greatest desires, but he promises to meet our needs. Philippians 4:19 is one of my favorite verses in all the scriptures. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that verse does not just refer to physical needs. It talks about spiritual needs. It talks about emotional needs. It speaks of everything that we need in life, our outer life as well as our inner life. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, in Christ all things are given unto us that pertain to life and good and godliness. Back to Psalm 23. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. Are we letting him? Are we following him? Paul says at least 5 times in the scripture, you follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. Are we following the shepherd? Are we following our Savior? He leads me in the right paths. Talking about a well-defined trail that the shepherd knows, and he leads his sheep down that path. It's well-worn, but the sheep still need the shepherd to get through, to walk along that path. The shepherd knows the path. And that's where he leads the sheep. You ever think that about God? Our God knows the path we need to walk. And he leads us down that path. That doesn't mean there aren't problems or dangers along that path, but God is leading us. So if we have questions about the future, can we trust God to lead us? If we're going through difficult situations now, can we trust that God will lead us through those situations? Even with the shepherd leading us, the sheep are prone to wander. Does that happen to us? Do we begin to wander away from God sometimes? Is it because we've taken our eyes off the shepherd, the one who is leading us? The shepherd, the sheep trust the shepherd because he knows the way. We have uncertainty in life, but he knows the way. We're unsure about the future, but he knows the way. He has everything under control. The question is, do we trust him? Do we trust him? That seems to be a pretty easy question, doesn't it? Do we trust him? And sometimes I don't know that I do. I don't know that I get it right. Someone is sick. Do I trust him? Does he care? My mother was sick. Did I trust him? I don't know that I did. I don't know that I trusted God the way I should. I prayed for my way to be done, not his way. And I've done that on more than one occasion. But he's proven to me in those situations that I can trust him and that he will lead me in paths of righteousness. Are we willing to follow his leading? So here's some questions, and we need to answer them. And we'll talk about this positively. When we talk about following God, are we saying, I'll go anywhere? Do you love your kids, those of you who have children? What if God calls them the mission field? Well, Wally says, amen, go, and Belinda's going, I'm not sure about that. Yeah, just to get them out, right? But it's a difficult thing to trust God with your children. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. How's that sound? I'll do anything for you. Will we? Just a question. I'll be what you want me to be. No, God, I'm going to be what I want to be. If we're going to be what he wants us to be, then many of us are going to have to change the way we live our lives. We're going to focus on him. We're going to trust him. I can tell you this, that when God wants to move in your life, he often moves you out of your comfort zone. Anybody comfortable out of your comfort zone? I think that's why they call it a comfort zone. I don't like to do things that I didn't see over here. You know, this and it probably is true for you too, Wally. When God calls us to pastor, he moves us way out of our comfort zone. Because we need to realize we can't be in control anymore. If we're going to serve him, he's the one that needs to be in control. The same is true of the elders and the deacons. The same is true of the Sunday school teachers. As a matter of fact, the same is true of the praise team. The same is true of every believer in Christ. He's going to move us out of our comfort zone. Are we willing to follow him? Are we willing to do whatever he asks us to do? Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd leads the sheep through the valley. And the sheep are frightened, but they know they can trust the shepherd. They know his voice. They follow him. They move in the direction he moves. John chapter 10. By the way, do you recognize the voice of God? Do you think that it's possible to recognize the voice of God? And I believe it is, but if we're going to recognize his voice, we have to know him. You know, there are times when people call me on the phone, I know immediately who it is because I recognize their voice, because I have that relationship with him, with them. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, I say to you, He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It's an amazing thing that there are 7 billion people on the earth, and God knows your name. Isn't that amazing? There are, I don't know how many of you in here this morning, but I don't know all your names. And many of you probably don't know mine, but the fact is, God knows our name, and he calls our name out. And he wants to spend time with us individually. And when we spend time with him, we can learn to recognize his voice. You hear his voice through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking his word into you. You can hear God speak through other people who are following God. You can hear God speak through the church. There are a number of ways that you can hear God speak, but the question is, do we recognize his voice? When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep do what? They follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the door. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Think about David. David was the shepherd. David killed the bears. David killed the lions. David cared for the sheep. He loved the sheep. And David knew that God was greater than that. And despite his sin, despite your sin, and despite my sin, he loves and cares for us. You ever feel like, where's God when I need him? Things are falling apart. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost a spouse. Maybe you've lost a child. God cares. And we can trust him. There's some things I learned this week and that I haven't really known. I guess I've known them. It just became more real for me. It says, "I fear no evil." Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A shepherd's rod was about 2 feet long. It had a circular thing on one end of it. And there were bits of jagged metal pounded in to that round area. And that's what the shepherd used to protect the sheep. That's what he used to fight off the animals. That's what he used in order to keep the sheep safe. The staff. The staff was a pole with a crook on the end of it. That staff was used to aid the sheep. Sometimes it would rescue the sheep from the bushes. Sometimes it would be used to discipline the sheep, to keep them moving in the right direction. God is our protector, and he is the one who disciplines us and keeps us on the right path. Why? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid. Do you trust God to move you in the right direction? Do you trust God with your life so that we go where he goes? Anybody going to smile this morning? Anybody listening this morning, Wally? I'm just curious because every once in a while, anyway, we'll move on. There are two enemies that God fights for us. One is Satan. That's easy, isn't it? That's easy to understand, that God fights the enemy for us. The other battle is us. The other problem is us. God fights the enemy, but then He has to discipline us. He has to move us in the right direction. He protects us. Here's some lessons from the valley. One is, God allows us to spend time in a valley. Anybody ever read the book by Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23? Philip Keller was a shepherd. Here's what he said. The shepherd knows from past experience that predators like coyotes, bears, wolves, or cougars can take cover on the on the cliffs and from their vantage point prey on the flock. The shepherd knows those valleys can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods that send walls of water rampaging down the slope. There could be rock slides or a dozen natural disasters that would destroy or injure his sheep. But in spite of such hazards, he also knows that this is still the best way to take his flock to the high country. He spares himself no pains or time to keep an eye and for any danger that might develop. Our shepherd knows there are times, there are hard times ahead. He knows the predators that are lying in wait for us. And he leads us there. Why? Why does he lead us through those valleys? So that we can learn to trust him. So that we can learn that he is faithful. So we can learn that he knows best. We trust him because we know he's leading us to a better place. In the valley, we experience his presence and his power, his leading, his provision. In the valley is where we learn to trust him completely. You know that statement you hear that is one of the biggest lies of all time? God will never give you more than you can handle. Are you familiar with that saying? That's a lie. God gives us more than we can handle. Things that are out of our control come into our lives. Why? So we can learn to trust him. So that we can learn to experience his love. So we can learn that he is absolutely faithful. There have been times in our relationship and with Diane and in our lives when we have had financial difficulties. And you know what? God has always stepped in. I know that if he does that for me in my life, he'll do that for you. God keeps his promises. But we learn about him through difficult times. We learn about him, his trust, and or our trust in his love and his mercy and his grace when we go through times that are way out of our control. And he cares for us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Anybody ever make fun of you for being a believer? Anybody ever question your faith? He provides for us in plain sight of our enemies. He demonstrates his power in the sight of our enemies. And one of the things that happens in our lives is when you are going through a difficult time, and people see you going through that time and following God and being faithful, they want to know how you got through it. I've seen that happen over and over in my life. And when they ask you how you got through it, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? It's God. There's no other way for me to have gotten through this than with God. I have a friend who has a... has a problem with anger. And maybe some of us do as well. But he's angry at everything. And if somebody has offended him, he never forgets it. And he holds that grudge against not only that person, but everybody in that profession. And I was talking to him one time. I said, you have to let that go. You have to let that go. He said, how do you do that? I said, you have to trust God. It was shortly after that he asked me for a Bible. I brought him a Bible, and he said, well, I'll read this and give it back to you. I said, I don't want it back. This is for you. Well, where do I start reading? If somebody asks me where to start reading the Bible, I direct them to the Gospel of John. Listen, if you can master one book in the Bible, that's the book to master. And he began reading it, and his attitude began to change. Now, I am still waiting for him to make a decision for Christ, but I promise you he will. Because he is seeking God, the only one who can help him overcome those anger problems. Gives us the chance to share our testimony when people see us trusting God and following God and watching them watching us be obedient. You anoint my head with oil. You ever thought about that phrase? Anybody understand why the shepherd anoints the head of the sheep with oil? I didn't know for a long time, but I found out. Here it is. I found this in, what's it called? Fit for Christ. So here's what it says. There are flies that like to torment sheep by laying eggs in their nostrils. These flies turn into worms. And they drive the sheep to beat their head against a rock, sometimes to death. Their ears and eyes are also susceptible to tormenting insects. So the shepherd anoints their whole head with oil. Then there's peace. That oil forms a barrier of protection against the evil that tries to destroy the sheep. That's what God does for us. He anoints our head with oil. And when he does, we can have peace. Verse 6 in Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God gives us more than we can contain. Count your blessings is a hymn, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When's the last time you thought about that? Instead of looking at your cup as half empty, when do we look at our cups as not even full, but overflowing? Count your blessings. It will amaze you what God has done for you. You know, most of us could sit in this room and start and talk about God's blessings and be here till after lunch. But I know you don't want to miss lunch. So we're going to let Wally and Jerry stay in here after we leave, and they're going to count their blessings to each other. Just a thought. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow there could better be translated as pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. God's coming. He follows us. He walks with us. He goes before us. He follows us. Think about that. You can't run away from God's grace and his mercy, from his love, from his goodness. Why? Because they pursue you. I saw the other day, I was driving down the road, and this car was speeding down the road, and it was on Stigler. Stigler's, most of it is 35 miles an hour. But this guy was probably going 50. Maybe 55. And all of a sudden, out from one of the side streets comes one of Gahanna's finest. And the lights go on. And the sirens go on. And he pursues this car until the car stops. He didn't let up. He was going to catch that car. God's goodness and mercy pursues us. I like that picture. It's not just follows us, it pursues us, it comes after us. And I should dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a great promise. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I've done a lot of funerals. Probably more than I can count. And I've done funerals for people who are saved, people who know Christ as their Savior. And I've done funerals for people who are not. There is a huge difference. There is grief at both. But at funerals of those who know Christ as their Savior, there can be a peace, and there is a peace. Because they understand that because of the deceased person's faith in Christ, they will be able to see them again. This is not the end. As a matter of fact, my mother had cancer. She had bronchitis. There were a whole lot of things going on with my mom's respiratory system, and she died. But you know what? I still grieve her, but I am absolutely sure that one day I'll see my mother again. And I'm looking forward to that. And that's the hope. That's the promise that we have in Christ. That's the promise that God makes us. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you looking forward to that? You know, there is only one hope in this world. I have a lot of wishes, but there's only one hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you today that if you don't know Him as your Savior, if there's never come a time in your life when you realized you were a sinner in need of a Savior, that you would today confess your sin and invite Him into your life as your Lord and Savior. Scripture is very clear. If we confess our sin, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, sometimes people say, well, God can't save me because I've done all these things. You know what? There are a whole lot of things I've done in my life. A lot of I'm not proud of. But here's what I know. When I cried out and called on the name of Jesus, He saved me. So no matter what it is you've done, when you admit that to God, when you confess that sin, when you call on Him, when you cry out to Him, ask Him to be your Savior, He comes. David knew that. Many of us know that. But do all of us in this room understand that? The Lord is my shepherd. You come to know Jesus as your shepherd. You come to know God as your shepherd through a personal relationship with Him. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe that's your day today. Maybe today is the day you cry out to God and you call on His name and then trust Him to save you and to be your shepherd. Father, we thank You for Your word today, for the testimony of David, things we can learn from him that we can put in our lives. The Lord is not only David's shepherd, but the Lord can be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. It's a personal relationship that starts with faith in Jesus Christ. And all these things that are mentioned, He provides for us because He loves us and He cares about us. He showers His mercy on us. He is our shepherd. So Lord, today as we leave this place, I pray that we'll be mindful of our relationship with You. That we've come to faith in Christ because of who He is. Lord, I thank You for those of us in this room who have trusted Christ, and I pray for those in this room who may not have trusted Jesus as their Savior. Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that You work in this place. Encourage us, give us Your peace. Lord, help us to understand You more, not only as our God, but as our Savior. Not only as our God and our Savior, but as our shepherd. Help us trust You more. Give us faith to believe when we have trouble believing. And Lord, we will praise You and give You glory and honor because You alone are worthy. We thank You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.